You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey everyone, you are about to listen to our live recording that we did for Pride, and we hope you have as much fun listening to it as we had recording it. Many of you know that getting to this recording was a journey with our guest changing multiple times and also being teased with a maybe from one of our Woman Crush Wednesday picks. We won't tell you which one, but we did it. We did it. We put on a show with a special guest. Lisa Traeger came out. She's been on Comedy Central and Netflix, and she's so funny. And we also had an appearance by a past guest, Jess Henderson, from our Plants episode. So thanks to everyone who was able to come out in person. We had so much fun diking out with all of you. All right, that's it from me. Enjoy the episode.
I'm diking out, you're diking out. Let's dike out together. See what it's all about.
Diking out, diking out, diking out, diking out.
Oh my God. Welcome, welcome to Diking Out. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. How exciting.
I know, right?
Kicking off Pride Week.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you guys all know why you're here. I would hope so, unless some of you thought it was like lesbian speed dating.
Right. It could be, though. I like this crowd.
It could turn into that, depending on how the night goes. So, like, have some cute little lines ready.
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
Look to your left, look to your right. Keep an open mind. Now, for anybody who doesn't know, Diking Out, it's a weekly podcast where we invite a guest to come and talk to us about things you can't talk to your straight friends about. Unless they're listening to Diking Out, then they are well-equipped. But other than that, you know, one time I made a scissoring joke in front of my boss, and she did not know how to take it.
Yeah.
She was like...
Super pumped to explain to my mom what that is later.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Your mom's here. Give it up
yes,
for Sarah's
she is.
Mom.
Yeah.
Woo! I'm excited. I still haven't met
her.
Yeah,
we'll work on it.
Yeah, a lot of secrecy here on your mom. I know she exists. She follows us on social media.
She sure does. Yeah.
We haven't seen each other in a while.
No,
I've been
yeah.
on the West Coast for 2 weeks, so I can't wait to hear about all the like gay TV you haven't been watching.
I have not watched Gentleman Jack.
Nope.
I haven't watched any of the movies you suggested. I did, however...
No Tale of the Cities.
No Tale of the City. Nope, not doing that. I did binge Big Little Lies.
Save it.
We're saving it.
Save it. We're going to get to it.
Saving it, but I'm going to talk about it.
We're going to get to it. So we're recording this live for an episode of our podcast. So anybody who is listening to this, who's not in the audience, you might know that this is actually our second live episode that we've ever done. But the first one that we've done naked, completely naked.
Right. So we'll be doing that.
So if you're listening and you're like sad you missed out, maybe plan better next time.
Yeah. Sorry.
Listeners in your Subaru.
You missed it.
Yeah. But okay, so to kick off the show, we're actually going to start it with people funnier than us. Mm-hmm. We thought that'd be a nice treat since we have an audience. So we actually invited a past guest of the podcast because you guys seem to be as obsessed with her as we are because she did our plants episode, which was a hit, you guys.
It really was.
When she first said she wanted to talk about... when she said she wanted to talk about plants, we're like, how do we make this gay? And she's like, duh,
she's
you
like,
idiots.
Plants are so gay.
And she proved that and so much more. She actually came here tonight after filming her web series season 3. It's called Growing Down. So check that out on YouTube. And if you want to see her, you know, do more comedy, you can follow her at Embrace Mess on all the social medias. Please put your hands together for the hilarious and wonderful Jess Henderson.
First of all, we're getting this mic stand out of the way. It's phallic and it's oppressive. And I cannot allow it. I cannot allow that. This is a safe space. Yes, clap, an ally. This is a safe, intimate space, so we're just gonna talk about me. I think going along with the theme of Pride Month, I just want to say, I am triggered. You are triggered, and we are all triggered. I would just like to cover that right off the top. I don't know what's happened in the last 2 minutes on the news. Triggering. I don't know what happened on the train. Triggering. I don't know what happened to you because of Pride. Triggering. Pride Month makes me think a lot about how people all of a sudden want to be like, tell me your coming out story. Tell it to me. Tell me about the time you came out. And something that I would like to say to straight people who are not here, but maybe listening, who knows. There is no such thing as a specific coming out story. You come out all the time. I came out to my doorman when I was like, my girlfriend is gonna need to be let up. And he was like, okay, sure. I came out to the man that catcalled me. And he was like, well, we both have something in common. We both like pussy. It's like, wow, this didn't work at fucking all. And one time I remember coming out at student life camp. Now let's rewind and go back. I am from Florida. In the panhandle. And me, a social teenager, I went to youth group. And I also had an American Girl doll journal that had those different prompts because, you know, when you are a teenage girl, you need to be prompted what to write about because we don't have thoughts. We will unpack that later. I'm triggered, you're triggered, we're all triggered. I had a little journal, and it was like, Jessica, what's the one thing you want to do for your birthday? I was like, all girls, sleepover. Jessica, if you could do one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be? All girls, sleepover. Jessica, when you're having a bad day, what is the one thing that's going to make you feel better? All girls, sleepover. Everyone tells me their secrets. So naturally, when I was at youth group, and I found out that we were going to go to student life camp, a sleepaway camp, I was like, sign me up. So we were at student life camp. We had praise and worship night every night, aka brainwashing every night. And when we were at our brainwashing worship moment, this woman standing next to me was, you know, praising Jesus. And she raised her hands up and she said, Daddy, I just want to lift it all up to you. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's fucking weird. But I do think that I would like a woman to call me daddy. One of the first times I ever came out. One of the first times I ever came out. So, I recently came out to my bosses and told them I no longer wanted to work for them. But I was, thank you so much. I was a nanny and I, thank you so much. I was raising three white children to be strong black women. I was doing the work. I was doing the work. And raising strong black women means, especially if they started out white, there's so many teachable moments. The one that is forever seared in my memory, I took the two little boys, because that's how they identify for now, boys. And teachable moment for everyone. I was an amazing babysitter. So two little boys, for now, that's how they identify. They were playing tag with this girl, and that's for now how she identifies. In the middle of tag, she turned to them and she said, "I'm done." A sentiment we all understand. They looked at her, looked at me, which, by the way, white men, they don't age out of that response. They do that. Brett Kavanaugh, my daughter. They don't age out of that. They look at me and they're like, "Jess, we're in the middle of a game. She can't just change her mind." Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm triggered. You're triggered. We're all triggered. White children gather around. This is a teachable moment. A person at any moment can change their mind. Doing the work. I was doing the work. And the little white girl that I watched was like, "Yes, go Aces." I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, too comfortable. Too comfortable. You can hear it and enjoy it, but you cannot co-opt it and say it." Doing the work. Another, you know what? I just got re-triggered because I just remembered another moment, and I was triggered, you're going to be triggered, and then we're all going to be triggered. I was driving upstate, and the little girl in the back was getting her whole life to the music that I was playing, because not only am I black, I'm also gay, and we're all DJs. She's playing really good music. She's bouncing in her car seat, singing along to lyrics, and she was like, "Down with these niggas." Whoa, 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 whoa. White children gather around. This is a teachable moment. You can hear it, and maybe you enjoy it, but you cannot co-opt it and say it. Doing the work, 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 doing the work. So one thing that I am so grateful for now that I'm not doing the work on these women, I have time in my life to try and unsubscribe to all of the bullshit that's been placed on me. So unsubscribe to whatever the fuck binary is, unsubscribe to what it means to be black, and unsubscribe to fat not being sexy, and subscribe to BDSM. So, thank you so much. So, I made a profile on a dating website, and I am so charming. Online. And I was like, "I'll be your femdom, daddy, dyke, whatever you want. Let me know. Hit me up." The first person's like, "Hey." I'm like, "Ah!" Unsubscribe. I couldn't fucking handle it. I couldn't fucking handle it. But then I went on a date, because we never learn our lesson the first time. I went on a date. I give amazing queer date, just in case anyone's wondering. I give amazing queer date. I said, "Not my president." I said, "This is what consent looks like for me." And I said, "No, I do not have a dog, but I'm willing to adopt." I had a wonderful date with this person. They walked me to the train and they said, "You know what, Jessica, I had a wonderful night and I really hope to see you again. It was great." I stepped towards them
and I gave them a high five.
I'm triggered. You're triggered. We're all triggered. So naturally, I had to talk to a little girl I watch about it. I was like, hey, do you have a second to talk? Yeah, black woman to black woman. What's going on, sis? I said, I went on a date and I totally self-sabotaged it because I'm still not taking myself seriously. I still feel like I don't deserve someone to find me attractive. I don't deserve love. And I'm like staying ahead of being told no, right? What's going on? She was like, wow, 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 wow. Jessica, gather around. This is a teachable moment for you. That's all I have for you guys tonight. Thank you so much.
Keep it going for Jess Henderson. Sarah York is backstage right now injecting Gentleman Jack into her veins. I made her. All right. So, yeah, usually when we record the podcast, our only audience is my wife, Cecilia, watching Golden Girls outside our studio. So it's really cool to have everyone here and like part of this whole experience, which again is why we want to do things a little bit different and have some comedy. So our special guest for this evening is a hilarious comedian. So we thought before we get to the talky part, we would also have her come and do a comedy set. You maybe have seen her on Netflix's The Degenerates or on her Comedy Central special. Please put your hands together for the very funny Lisa Traeger.
Hello. So happy to be here. You could tell by my voice, I live a really healthy lifestyle. Just like yogurt and carrots. No, I am a stoner. I smoke every day, and it sucks. I think it's a problem, but I just never think I'm high enough, so then I smoke all day, and then I'm like, I'm not even high, and then it's time to do my makeup, and I'm like, touche. Okay. I guess I'm high, and I look like a Picasso rough draft for the evening. Okay. So, I've been, you guys live in New York? Yeah, all of you, everyone? All right, great. Do you find it exhausting traveling and pretending you're not better than people? I'm just like so tired all the time. You know, you go to Minnesota, you're like, is this a good restaurant? It's never a good restaurant. It's really tragic. Most of the country, I wish they weren't voting. I don't know. I'm optimistic, but there's just nothing out there. I feel if you live in the middle of nowhere and you don't travel, your opinion matters less. And I'm sick of pretending anything other than that. Like, I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma. I asked three separate people what to do for fun, and they all told me there was a hole in the middle of the town and they didn't know how deep it went. So, don't vote. If you don't have an art museum, stay home on November 7th. That's it. You don't have to clap. I don't read, but that's just an opinion. I'm like, oh, you don't like Muslims? Okay, well, they make me sandwiches in the middle of the night, so back the fuck out of my life, okay? Stop trying to ban them. They compliment me when I'm drunk, so let me live. No, New York has its problems, for sure. Like, since November, I've had 4 carbon monoxide poisonings in my apartment. So, you know, ups and downs. I also have rat shit outside my door, so then my friend gave me dirty cat litter, so now I have cat shit to scare the rat shit away, and that sucks. I have raccoons in my roof. I also, well, my last apartment, our building super climbed on a bed, indoor bedroom window on a ladder, but because he was whistling, I thought it was birds for a very long time, and then I pulled back the curtain and it wasn't birds. Yeah, he had a stash. But I also moved to New York because of Sex and the City, which is embarrassing, but great. Yeah, favorite show. I love it so much. But Carrie Bradshaw kind of sucks. She's a little selfish. journalist in New York, 9/11 happened, and she didn't even write one article. So rude. Where's my boyfriend from Wall Street? He's gone. I think he's ghosted you. Literally. Okay. All right. There's one more line. I don't know if you want it or not, but she's like, oh, my desk is dusty. Okay, so, but I felt you didn't love it. I'll take the Holocaust bit out. I get it. I go with the flow. 9/11, not today. Is there anything worse than when you find out someone you love loves the Lord? Ugh. The worst. hate getting tricked. Oh, clap if this is something you relate to. How many of you feel like 70% of your life is spent wrapping toilet paper around your hand and then wiping strange women's piss off toilet seats? Is that a relatable statement? Cool. Yeah, pretty upsetting. Because sometimes, you know, all the stalls are covered in piss, so then you have to debate which stranger's piss you'd rather touch. And that's sad, you know, game show, no winners. You know, because one toilet seat, like, it makes you think about things you never thought you'd think about. Because sometimes there's less pee, but there's loose hairs. And it's like, what's my stance on that? You know, I don't know. Loose hair is better or worse. Sometimes it's a clean toilet seat, but blood on the floor. Is that good or bad? I don't know. Loose hairs or blood? I'm not sure. Sometimes the pee is just on the back of the toilet seat, and that's actually pretty good because you could sit in the front and work on your posture. So that's nice. Text your mom, let her know. Yeah, it sucks. And because, yeah, you have to debate which one's better. And my friends are like, you should just hover. Why don't you hover? And it's like, I'm tired. I'm tired. I don't really want to. I want to sit while I pee. What a diva. You know, what an uppity bitch. I'm also bad at hovering, but like, so is everyone else, or there wouldn't be piss everywhere. So if you are a hoverer, you're a woman who hates other women, and that's a fact. Like, if you're pissing on something someone wants to sit on, your spirit's fucked, and you have to be better. It's so disappointing. It's not women's fault that women hate women. It's not. It's just survival, because back in the day, women couldn't, you know, own property or have jobs or go to school. So you needed a man to marry you to get things. So if Steph's hotter than me, I'll slit her throat for shelter. You know? She's going to die. I'm not going to get sent to a house for witches. Anyways, but I'm really bad at hovering, because one time I peed on the back of my overalls and then I slapped them on my back. And so I just don't want to do that again. But yeah, it just sucks because I'm a feminist, like, girl power, future is female. And then I go into a bathroom stall and I'm like, maybe we don't deserve equal pay. I don't know. Maybe a steady stream first and then demands. I was visiting my parents a few weeks ago in the Chicago suburbs. My niece was in Mamma Mia at her Jew school. I would say if you get to go to a Jew school play, you should, because they all wear kippas and they keep falling down. And it's great. The play was two nights, and then the first night my niece had a line where she said, he can pepper my snapper, and then the second night the line was cut. I wonder. Yeah, the Jews were not pumped. But it was cute. My parents are 81 and 74. They were born in the Soviet Union. I don't know if we have any other wartime parents here. Is this relatable material? Does anyone have old? Okay, great. Super rock and roll sign. Which war? Is that good crowd work? Is that going to pump up the crowd? What? World War II. All right, cool. Yeah, fun. We have a saying in our house where we say, if you starved in a war, you'll eat expired corn. Do you guys say that? Is that... Cool. Yeah. I mean, I guess we can talk about my parents fucking. Thanks. No, it's all right. I found my dad's Viagra, and at first I was cool with it, and then I realized my mom has two fake hips, and I'm like, let's relax. You hate it. I wasn't planning on talking about it, but, you know, gotta go with the flow. So I'll stop with the wartime family stuff. I think you guys want to have a good time. I guess my, it's just basically what happened this last trip is so they don't really speak English and they're old. And I realized that the whole time I was watching The Simpsons in the basement growing up, they thought I was watching the O.J. Simpson trial. And I just realized that. And I just think it's weird they never stopped me. I was young. But any boy band fans? Great. No. Cool. You're kind of annoying, but it's okay. Because, yeah, I feel like you're hot, so people haven't told you that you suck as often as, which is fine. We're all guilty of it. We're nicer to hot people. I have one friend, Stacy. She's a racist, but her thighs don't touch. You know, bring her for the group. You got to bring her. She's good for the group. Yeah. I was on the train once, and this hot girl was putting her hair up in a ponytail, and her hair tie broke, so I immediately opened my purse and started looking for a hair tie, and just searching so hard, and then I remembered all the limbless men who wheeled by asking for change, where I'm like, no, thank you. No. Ew. Keep wheeling, motherfucker. Jess needs a ponytail. So we're all guilty. So I got dumped about 2 years ago, and then I watched 34 seasons of Survivor in 6 months. And then I started therapy. It's been fun. I love it. I'm in the point in therapy now where I can identify my problems but don't have the tools to solve them. So that's like a living nightmare. Just, yeah, knowing you're sad but like keeping shopping at the airport. But... you know, she tells me a lot of lessons. You'll like this one. She told me that all of our sexual fantasies come from unresolved trauma, that our brain changes from pain to pleasure. Yeah, have a great week. I hope you love your Monday. Yeah, because I like gangbangs in Czechoslovakia, so I'm like, what happened? Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm addicted to porn. I love it. I watch it a lot. I watch the interviews before and after. I also follow all my porn stars on Twitter and Instagram because I like to, like, see who's friends with who, because then when they're fucking, I'm like, oh, did they carpool? I like to know about their full lives. I don't know if you're going to like the rest of this. I feel... might change it up. Let's see. No, it'll all be fine. But I was watching, I don't know, my favorite, I just also like to follow them online because I like to make sure they're like true whores in their heart. Like, I just need that. Like, so once I followed a porn star and she was in college to be a nurse and it's like, that's not for me. I don't need that. I like can't have you fucking for your dreams. I need fucking to be your dream. Like, that's just what I need. Adriana Chechik's my favorite. I don't know if we have fans here, but we don't deserve her. I mean, she's so hardworking. There's a photo on her, just her normal Instagram, and she's wearing a black skin tight jumpsuit. And then it's like open cleavage middle, and then it's lace all the way up, no underwear on. And she wore that to a 2 p.m. matinee of Aladdin the musical. Like, that is a full-time slut, and I like it. Sometimes she'll just like suck a dick at a Dave and Buster's and put it on her Snapchat, just her regular Snapchat. I give her $12.99 a month, so I get like extra stuff. And this is like my favorite video of all time. It's probably not for everyone, but so she's sitting and she's sitting in the passenger seat of a car and her boyfriend's driving the car and she's peeing in a cup. And then when she's done peeing, she just pours it on his face, but he knows he's lucky to be there, so he just keeps on driving. So powerful. I love it so much. Who's more powerful than that? How many people could pour a cup of piss on someone and they'll continue to quietly drive for you? That is power. It's like Nancy Pelosi, Adriana Chechik, no one else. And her. Why are you so mad? You're the annoying one, I promise. but I did watch a gangbang recently that really upset me. It was, I think, yeah, we'll see how you feel. It was mostly in a backyard on a picnic table, and there was one woman and 40 guys, which I know is a lot, but grow up, move on. Those are the facts. And so it's the time in the porn where everyone's coming on her. So everyone's like in a circle and everyone's jizzing. And so she's like slipping around. And so she's like slipping, and then she slips so much that like her head kind of falls off the picnic table. So now her head is dangling and no one will help her. And I'm just getting so upset. I'm just like watching her head dangle. Everyone keeps jizzing. They're like trying to put dicks in her mouth. She's she's like trying to breathe. And so now she has to hold her own head up. So now she's holding her own head up as everyone is coming on her. And it's just like, where are all the good guys? You know, I, because you're certainly not at the gangbang. It's just wild. I always hear like, not all men. I'm like, how about not one in 40? How about that? How about not one in 40? We're like, oh, I'm jizzing in your eyelid. Here's a hand. I don't know. I just think it's wild. It's wild. Because also no one's double hand jerking off, which means everyone had a loose hand. So there are 40 loose hands. Not one's rubbing her clit. It's like, it's so terrible. Like not one dude's brain's like, oh, this barbecue would have sucked without her. Okay. Let's get Svitlana a pillow. Well, that was tepid. Should have stuck with the boy band material. You didn't love the gangbang bit. All right. Well, did you guys ever wonder why in the boy bands there was always two ugly old men in every group? Maybe. Like, I'm 12. I'm trying to learn about myself. Kevin is 45 years old. It's unsettling. But I get it now. And I think the reason they're ugly oldies, they're basically a tool for parents to know if your child has low self-esteem. Because if your kid has a crush on the ugly one, you got to step up your parenting. You have to do better. Your kid wants to fuck Howie D. That's a problem. That's a big problem. Can you imagine your kid just like, yeah, I love the way his wet ponytail swings around as he dances. I'd rather my kid see dead people. I just think if you decide to have kids, you deserve to have a kid with the self-esteem to think they can fuck a Justin Timberlake one day, not a man with braids held up with a banana clip. That's bad. And then if your kid like 98 degrees, they're cutting. They're cutters. They're slitting their wrists. Well, you're going to have to listen to me talk more on this podcast. So I'll see you right now. Okay, bye. But you liked me until the gangbang, right? Or yeah. Did I lose you earlier?
The topic yeah, tonight to is gangbangs. No.
What is it?
I said the topic is gangbangs. Yeah. No. But it could be. Keep it going for Lisa Drager.
Thanks.
That was so funny. We enjoyed that so much.
Great. Thanks.
So Sarah and I haven't seen each other in like 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And before we get into our topic, which is going to be coming out after 30.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We need to catch up a little bit. A lot has gone on, and feel free to, you know, comment on anything we're talking about. I was just on a 2-week comedy tour of the West Coast.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and shout out to all of our listeners because they came out to almost every show, and it was so awesome. It was so awesome to meet people, except for one show, which I feel so guilty for in LA. So I was part of this festival, which was like a total scam. Uh-oh. And it was like almost
worse. Name names. What's it called?
Was Ja Rule there?
That would have made it better. That's
You're
the
like,
level
wait a
of
minute,
scam
this
I'm talking
a bad
about.
Sign.
I know. I shouldn't admit that. I want to say it was called like the Laugh Girl Riot, like a lot of R's in it. Mm. Like Christina
Too many
Aguilera.
R's. Yeah. It's always a scam.
Yeah, right. I trusted it because Christina Aguilera, I'm like, well, if she uses a lot of R's, this one should be fine. It was too many comedians, and then also I think they accepted everybody, which did not make me feel good. A couple listeners came, and I didn't know that listeners were there, and it was going so bad that I asked to move my setup because I was supposed to headline, but I'm like, I need to get out of here. Like, this is an escape room situation. everybody, it was like they didn't come with jokes. They came with, like, shout-outs to their college mascots. Like, that's, like, it was very uncomfortable. It was, like, an hour of me not laughing. The only person who came with jokes besides me was a woman in her 70s who forgot the punchline to a third of them.
I identify with that.
Right?
Yeah. Was this in like a parking lot of an In-N-Out?
No,
what the fuck happened?
No, it was somebody who like runs a comedy festival. Like this is like the fifth year of it. And like a lot of other New York, like three other New York comics I know who I respect were also doing it. So we
all
were
all three
like,
of them.
Oh, this is fine. Well, it's an LA festival, right?
Right, yeah.
We've all done a fake festival.
We've all done a fake. Okay, thank you. Thank you for validating
me. Thank you for jumping in and rescuing her.
Yes. Thank you.
We've all been tricked.
I questioned a lot about my life during that hour. So the comic who goes before me is the lesbian. I'm like, oh, finally. No, it was the most offensive set I've seen in my whole life. It was like super biphobic and transphobic. Mm-hmm. So much, like, I've never given anybody feedback on a set before because that's like a straight man thing. Like, that's their deal. Mm-hmm. So I don't do that. But this person, I was like, you can do better. Like, this was so, I almost walked out before.
Was it the editor of After Ellen or what?
I thought so. Yeah. Good.
See?
Yeah.
I still got it.
Still got it. It was so, I'm like, I don't know. She was, it was bad. It was bad. So then, you know, I go up and I do my thing. And then the woman running it, who's like wearing cat ears, which I should have known. Like, the sign that I walk in, she's wearing cat ears. Another comedian said an adult woman wearing cat ears is like a headband with two red flags. And, like, never have I felt a more true statement than said. It was crazy. I felt very embarrassed that, and these listeners were like, that was our first time at a comedy show. I was like, no, it gets better. So there was that. Another crazy thing about LA was the first show I did there. Afterwards, so I'm wearing this shirt that says Macaulay Culkin with an arrow pointing up, as one does. And this guy I'm sitting next to is like, are you staying afterwards? Because I'm friends with Macaulay Culkin, and I want to send him a picture of your shirt. So I'm like, I'm down to talk about Macaulay Culkin.
Was he bragging, or was this like...
Yes.
He's stating that he's friends with...
Yes.
You don't brag that you're friends with Macaulay Culkin.
I mean, it's a weird move. It was a weird move. But I was headed to record... I was a guest on the Coming Out podcast, so I was like, no, I have to go. So he's like, you know, let me follow you out. I'll take a picture of your shirt, send it to Mac. We're making chit-chat and stuff. I'm like... What do you do? Are you a comedian? He's like, no, I'm, you know, stereotype. I'm a screenwriter in LA. I'm like, oh, what's your name? And he's like, Max Landis. I was kind of caught up in the Me Too movement.
No way.
That was his credit, the Me Too movement. And he said in a less...
That's going to end up on IMDb.
Yeah.
Like...
In a less than James Franco way. And I was like very confused because he had also said he met Macaulay Culkin on the Black and White video set because his dad directed it. And I didn't know who Max Landis was at the time. Are you up to speed with
Yeah,
like,
I'm on the internet a lot.
You're on Twitter. So he was trending like a week after this happened for the third time trending within Me Too. That's like a lot of trends within Me Too because I guess he kept like... surviving, but it was very weird. During our conversation, he compared himself to the Great Gatsby. Like, at first I thought like maybe he, like, I thought maybe he accused someone. I thought like maybe he was gay. I don't know. But like, then I learned, no, he's like a horrible
person. Did you let
him
take a photo of you in the shirt?
I did.
Yeah.
Why,
did you get a response
though?
From Macaulay Culkin?
No. I mean, I've met like Macaully Culkin.
You just keep getting tricked.
Right, yeah.
All over town.
I know. It was just, LA is full of traps. That was my lesson.
That's gotta be a song lyric, I think. LA is full of tricks.
It is. It's full of tricks. Yeah. Not like the sexy kind, though. Like the kind that just make you feel embarrassed for falling for them. That was, but you're moving to LA.
I am in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you excited about that?
Yeah, I'm excited. I like the plants and I like
That's
the
valid.
View.
The landscaping is beautiful.
Yeah, I like all the cacti and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's time. I don't think I'll be there forever, but I think I'd like to be there for a bit.
Yeah.
There's a dance class I enjoy and I like
that is
the
a legit
fruit
reason.
On the side of the street. I'm into it. I'm excited.
What's the dance class?
It's called Pony Sweat. It's a it's a fiercely non-competitive dance aerobics.
All right.
I like anything fiercely non-competitive.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I non-compete.
Yeah, she's fiercely. Like, fuck the moves. And it's like, you know, just Santigold and fun rock songs. So, yeah, I like going to that.
That's a good time, yeah.
And sugarfish. Yeah, I think it'll be good. I mean, all the stuff about my apartment's true. I've had monoxide. There were squatters in the basement. They set up generators. Fire department's broken into my apartment multiple times.
Yeah.
It's just been a full nightmare. So I'm getting out of there.
You know, so I don't know if you know Mae
Wilkerson.
And
I want to, like, I'm going to leave the apartment a mess, and I'm, like, I'm debating, like, what I'm gonna do.
Oh, we can give you ideas.
I mean, obviously, like, shitting on the floor was my first thought, but
well,
I don't know. I don't know. I think that's humiliating for me and not enough, but I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I want to teach him a lesson.
Yeah. Well, we'll brainstorm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll think about it. Throughout this episode, we'll come up with different ways you could
avenge this
landlord.
I do like a good prank. Yeah, I like a good prank. Maybe I should make a comedy festival in L.A. That sounds like the ultimate prank that people, very smart and funny people, fall for all the time. Yeah. L.A., I met up with Mae Wilkerson, who used to live in New York, and we were catching up. She's been a guest on the podcast, and she was like, moving to L.A., I realized, like, in New York, I just felt like it's like I'd been living with weights tied to my ankles for years, and all of a sudden I'm free. And she was a different person. She was very happy.
Yeah, but you have to make sure you have a little bit of suffering before you go there, or I think you become, like, a monster.
Yes.
I think you become a bad person.
You become Max Landis. That's what happens. And you compare yourself to the Great Gatsby, and you try to lure lesbians into conversation with Macaulay Culkin.
Right.
I think Macaulay Culkin's cool. You guys are really not impressed. I would be excited.
I have a shirt that...
I know
Macaulay Culkin. I mean,
I kind of know everyone's denying it, but I felt like people were not into it.
I think I think he's the best, like, most talented childhood actor of all time. I think he had a range.
I think so. I mean, he did
Home
play...
Home Alone, The Good Son, My Girl, three completely different characters.
No one's saying he's bad, but I think there are other great ones.
I mean, The Good Son, he was like a murderer,
Who's
that was cool.
Who's better than that?
I don't know, Christina Ricci.
Fair. Okay.
She did, yeah.
But also kind of the same character every
Leonardo
time.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, Christina Ricci in Now
Grape.
And Then was great.
What?
Christina Ricci in Now and Then was fantastic.
I know, but that's her character in everything. It's like an unhappy girl.
Well, she's just like a brooding person.
Brooding,
like, you know, she was brooding teen.
I'm saying Macaulay Culkin had range.
No, he didn't.
What about
Haley
Joel Osment? He's a little star. You hate him.
But that was it.
What do you mean? He was in the one where the teacher was deformed and, like, helping him.
Oh, he was
lessons.
An AI, and he made me cry a lot. Don't watch
you're
that if you're not ready
forward.
For cry.
Yeah.
That was, Pay It Forward, that was another crier. Yeah, no, he makes me cry too much.
Helen Hunt, though.
Helen Hunt's a babe, yes.
Was and is a babe.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We're here for Helen
Twister,
Hunt.
Twister, she wore, like, a white tank top with the cargo pants. Anyway, that's a different episode.
We're going to have a whole episode on Helen Hunt. Maybe Helen Hunt will join us.
I could do, like, a 6-episode miniseries on Helen Hunt. Just going through her entire career.
You know I'm with you
for
that.
The wardrobe. The vibe. I loved it.
I'm not mad about you for that. That was bad. That was a dad joke. That was bad. Oh, my God. Forgive me. Forgive me for I have sinned. Okay, other things we need to talk about. So I was in Albuquerque. And I was there with past guest Sarah Kennedy, who apparently is the queen of Albuquerque, I learned. And while we were there, Taylor Swift was at Stonewall, which is our second home at Dyking Out.
Yep.
And I'm like, what the fuck is she doing there? Sarah Kennedy has a whole podcast called Taydar, where she lays out very specific evidence about Taylor Swift being gay. I know you have thoughts on Taylor Swift.
I
want to hear them. I mean, we all do.
They're just complicated. I love to hate her, hate to love her. You know, it's like, without Max Martin, would I be that into it? I don't know. But the hits are there, and she's a fake nightmare. And I just hate, like, clearly she was the mean popular girl, but I hate when she's like, everyone made fun of me. It's like, you were a rich cunt, and we know it. Like, there is... no way everyone was coming after you and you're just like this, I don't know, I don't buy it.
For
and
sure.
I just hate that she always is the victim of something
she
when she's the one making games and doing, because I know someone that went to a baby shower with her and she was really icy.
Oh, so you know.
I know.
Bish.
I get the albums, you know what I mean?
Of course,
it's like I can't stop taking him. I want
sure.
it.
Sure, yeah. So now Taylor Swift is the victim of pride, apparently, because we're being mean that she is centering herself, like, in the making pride very much about her. I have very mixed feelings because I really think she's living her best gay life. I think that this is her being out. I think we're
seeking attention about a past relationship that's over now. Absolutely.
We are past like Ellen DeGeneres on the cover of Time magazine. Yeah. It couldn't be clearer that Taylor Swift is gay, in my opinion.
Not
your opinion. Yeah. I know. It's very controversial, but I think she's living her best gay life. That whole video was so gay, except for Ryan Reynolds, who dated bisexual Alanis
Morissette.
Yeah.
That's so, I guess only, I haven't like that, a Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon thing.
That was
like,
the only reason I
haven't seen this
think
video,
said,
though.
I haven't seen it either. Yeah.
Oh.
I know. I could not bring myself to watch
well,
it.
Well, if you ever it's like wanted a, to live in a trailer like, park.
You know what
idea.
I watched? I watched Rihanna and Seth Meyers' Day Drink, and that
oh
was
oh, my
fun.
God.
That was great. I like that.
Well, can you... Like, well, no, what was
that? I like
day drinking.
I like that he's like uptight, but then he's getting wasted, and then they drink goofy things. So he'll like break a chocolate bunny, and then they drink tequila out of it. And there's like context, but they're goofy and they're getting wasted, and he's singing. I just like him letting loose, and she's just always perfect and fun, and I like that.
Yeah, she's great.
She's a top 10 celeb.
I mean, she's probably she's better than Taylor Swift. Who was it?
Everyone is.
Yeah.
I just saw Ariana live. That was really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took my niece for 8th grade graduation, her and her friend, and they dressed like fucking sluts, but let it happen. So I went with two slutty 14-year-olds. But I was cool, for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For taking them. I wish I was on drugs, though. It sucked with the kids, because there's a moon and the space, and I would have loved to be on a drug. But.
Yeah. Speaking of drugs, I did shrooms for the first time when I was in Portland as part of this tour.
Oh, man.
And I can't talk about it now because it will just take us like really off topic.
Mm-hmm. Just tell us the location you were at.
I mean, it was Portland in a house, over a large piece of fabric that was rainbow colored and surrounded by the people who made the theme song for Dyking Out. So,
oh, fantastic.
It's, you know,
look at that.
Full circle.
Nice.
It was great. And so Albuquerque, Taylor Swift, I don't know. I mean, so we had somebody on the inside actually at Stonewall trying to get in, which was Veronica Garza, who was a past guest of Dyking Out. Mm-hmm. And she said they had a list of straight people that they were letting in. Like, she got there super early because she was there. Like, Sarah Kendi sent her. Sarah got the inside tip that, like, Taylor Swift was coming to Stonewall.
Yeah.
Veronica went there very early, and then they were just, like, letting all these straight people in. I'm like, pride's over. Let's all just do the Dyke March and call
it a
night.
But that's what it is anyway, right? Like,
It
kind of feels like that's the vibe of pride anyway. Is like, it's like all the corporations are really happy for us right now in this month. You know, and that's kind of like the same vibe with the whole Taylor Swift thing.
I know.
So it felt on brand, but I was still just kind of like the quickest scroll past of my life was scrolling past the news of her being at Stonewall. I'm just like, I'm unimpressed, you guys. And everyone knows my stance on Taylor Swift.
I just think it was very rude that she didn't come to our Dyking Out show. If you're going to do a show.
Right. If you're going
to come to Dyking Out at Stonewall.
We might be a little too on the nose
with
the
Ferguson.
Name.
I don't know. Okay, last thing we need to talk about before we get to our topic. Big Little Lies.
Yes. Oh, the best television ever made.
Thank you.
That second episode.
Straight stuff.
Was like perfect television. It was so incredible.
But it ended with what could be a great lesbian storyline. We don't want to say any spoilers.
The whole thing is.
Yeah.
It's a build-up.
Yeah.
It's a great hangout between Shailene Woodley and Nicole Kidman.
I can't believe we're here, honestly, and not watching it. congrats to everyone.
It's all later. That's why we took this time slot. We took this time slot so that you guys could all get home in time to watch Big Little Lies. And
I love Big Little Lies because the only thing I'm ever interested in is really mean middle-aged actresses yelling at each other. And this show, like, really just shoots it right into my fucking arteries.
Yeah, I will
not
be rich.
So much.
So good.
I have been nursing a crush on Laura Dern for 20 years, and it's finally happening for me.
Yeah, glitter dress was so good.
Oh, my God.
First episode.
I really want, I want her character, my type, if you will, is Laura Dern's character in Big Little Lies in her outfit from Jurassic Park. I want that. To connect with that somehow, make it happen.
I get it.
I will marry you. I will. It's the whole thing. That's my. So this show is really doing a lot for me. If they go on a safari, it's over.
It's, yeah. I hate that aquarium boy a lot, though.
Yeah, what's his deal?
He sucks. I really don't like him.
Why do shows introduce male characters?
I know. It is an interesting move, isn't it?
Right?
Yeah.
You're doing fine without them. Mm-hmm.
Also, that show, like, they are the best in categories I never thought about. Like, the recap of last season before the first episode of the season, like, this is the best recap I've ever seen. Like, I just couldn't even believe the recap. It's just excellence. It's so good.
Yeah. I like to think that Reese Witherspoon is her character from Election, which I know you haven't seen, even though it's
you haven't seen Election.
It's crazy. Filmed in my high school.
Filmed in her high school. In her high school.
Are you just pissed?
Yeah.
For
but
shame. I've never seen it.
But I don't get why. Just
I don't get why either. I don't know.
It's on HBO Go or Netflix. It's on one of them. I have them all, and it's on one of them.
I'm basically Tracy. I'm lesbian Tracy Flick.
She absolutely is. Yeah.
And Sarah hasn't seen Election, and then you would. I mean, you understand
I know.
Me,
I mean, I get it. I get the archetype.
You understand me a little bit more if you saw, Election.
I just love Billie Eilish so much. Yeah.
She's cool.
Somebody get me a necklace that says that.
I'd want to get drunk with her.
Yeah. Wait, Tracy Flicks or Reese Witherspoon?
No, Reese Witherspoon.
Don't get in a car with her, though.
I know. Reese Witherspoon is like the one that you want to have a brunch with, you know? Reese Witherspoon is like the one you want to have like a boozy brunch with, like that kind of thing. I think she'd be really fun. I don't know. I just feel like this show like brings... It gives me so much of that, like, I want to be friends with these women so hard, but also, like, not, because I don't want to die, maybe, potentially.
The only thing is, Reese Witherspoon is, like, a little too much into hugging Oprah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, she's not just there for you to hug. She's there to be the best person in the world. And, But, like, that...
Yeah, but if you had multiple opportunities to hug her, I feel like you wouldn't turn him down.
Oh, no, I would hug Oprah, but I wouldn't be like, hugging her is the best thing, because it's like, no, she's the best thing. I don't know. She had a weird speech, and it was just very weird about hugging Oprah.
Oh, I didn't hear the speech.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, it's fine. We would all hug Oprah. There was a... New York Times did a thing where they talk to, like, all the Democratic candidates, like, all 90 of them.
How do they have time?
Right. Yeah. And they asked them, does anybody deserve to be a millionaire? And every person got the question wrong, because the correct answer is Oprah.
Right.
Like, that's the only person, I believe, who deserves to be a billionaire to have $1 billion. Nobody else should.
Pat McGrath, I don't know.
Who's that?
Makeup.
What?
Oh, self-made billionaire.
Yeah.
She makes really good eyeshadow palettes and great shimmer lipsticks.
Okay.
And she's the
that's
first.
That's a
podcast
argument.
Is sponsored by Pat McGrath.
She's the first. It's like when you walk into Sephora, like Union Square, to the right's Fenty, to the left is Pat McGrath. But she's self-made. And
a real sharks and jets situation there.
How have I
like
missed
an eyeshadow palette's like $125.
You usually just head for Urban Decay and.
Yeah, that's fun
Maybe
too.
Maybe I'm making a mistake.
No, I'm mix
questioning
and match,
everything.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Buy all the makeup.
Well, speaking of eyeshadow, when did you come out?
Yeah. So you recently, I mean, sort of recently, you had your first relationship with a woman after 30?
We met right before my 30th birthday, I guess.
Okay.
And then we dated, and then I got dumped. And then,
classic.
Yeah.
But I mean...
but this is what I say. Like, I do feel like Taylor Swift being like new gay. It's humiliating. Because I also had hooked up with girls in the past, but I just feel like I was oblivious and stoned, and I just feel stupid. I didn't make the dots together, connect the dots. Fucked up the saying, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, better late than never. One thing I'm interested about, because your girlfriend was a comedian who's like out and known.
Yeah.
So that's like you kind of have no choice but to just like be out.
Yeah, I just didn't really think about it. We were just at an art museum, and I was like, oh, I think I'm into you. And And then it happened.
Yeah.
Because a lot of my friends are like, did you like second guess or do you think stuff? And I really didn't think much about it. I was just like very attracted to her.
I think that's like a difference though of coming out like when you're younger, like you might think like, oh, I have these feelings, but I don't know and I want to explore it. And like, I don't want to label myself anything if I haven't had a relationship and blah, blah. But then like if you're at a certain point and you're dating someone who's like been out for a while, it's like, oh, well, yep. Like I have to be out too. Like they're not like at a certain
point. It's
like
I'm Finding Nemo when all the little turtles get into that jet stream.
Yeah.
And you get into it. And you're just shot into one direction.
That.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, you're at Cubbyhole crying.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I am thrilled. I want to be that baby turtle so bad. That's the best, yeah. And then I started getting booked on all these gay shows, and then I feel kind of guilty, but here I am. I don't know.
Don't feel guilty.
The gayest show, by the way.
Yeah. This is, you've made it. in gay comedy shows.
I've made it. But, And then, I don't know. I didn't really think about it. Because I tell everyone everything. I'm not really like a quiet, I'm a chatter.
Surprise.
No way.
Surprise.
People tell me their secrets. I will tell everyone, but it doesn't stop anybody. And I just know everyone's business and I'll tell everybody. And, I don't know. So I just chatted about it constantly. Yeah. I was just like very in love. So
good.
I didn't think about not talking about it, I guess, or her or whatever.
So are you currently, like, when you're sort of approaching the dating world, like, are you looking for whoever, or how's that going?
So after the breakup, I, like, fucked hetero married couples, and that was, like, weird. Like,
who
in
hasn't?
Scottsdale, Arizona, you know? I was just, like, out there just fucking upsetting couples. And then...
I do that just by walking into a room. They're just like, we're having a bad day now. Like, I don't know. It just gets weird. They're easily tormented.
Yeah, they're just goofy. And they have to get babysitters. And they have, like, errands in the morning. But that was fine. I haven't really dated anyone since. And so now I'm just being rejected by every gender everywhere.
Oh, that's nice.
The
true queer experience.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, I'm looking for a girlfriend for sure. But I feel like I would fuck a loose dude if it was like a perfect situation. But
right. What's a perfect situation with a loose dude? I'm genuinely curious. I have no idea.
I don't even know what a loose dude means.
Me neither.
I picture
me neither.
For some reason, I thought of like when they, at like a casino, when it says loose slots, and I picture a guy just standing there with coins falling out of his asshole. Like, it's a loose dude. Oh my God, look at it.
I picture a guy with a fedora and a cigarette.
Yeah.
No fedora.
It could be
rude.
A combination. No fedora, we don't know.
Okay.
We're not very experienced with men.
That was
the line
rude.
Here.
I'm sorry.
I can't believe you thought I'd be fucking a fedora. That's so gross. Yes, so I was in Vermont this weekend and for shows, and then someone was like, oh, well, if you want to go out, and they recommended this bar, and then I saw it and I was so mad they thought that's where I'd hang out. It was called Red Square and it was just like techno music and 20-year-olds, and I was just so mad that that's what I portrayed. But so I guess, people think I want techno and fedoras. So
like, what about
sad.
Me suggests that I have a ketamine addiction and I want to go to this bar to get drugs? Like,
do you love ketamine?
No, I'm just saying, like, that's the kind of place it is.
Red Square.
Red Square, like that's like young people and house music.
And ketamine. And
yeah, that's what it is.
I don't
it's
even
like
know
House
what
of
ketamine
Yes.
is. It's bad.
It is bad. I was on vacation with a friend and then her boyfriend relapsed on ketamine and it was annoying. It ruined it. Because, you know, she was like upset and we were in Mexico and it's like, fuck
Stop
him.
Stop being
like, this
annoying
is about me.
With your
this
drug addiction.
Experience.
Yes. That's not polite. So after having been in a relationship with a woman, I guess, like, has it changed the way that you approach dating men? Because you're just into the loose ones.
No, I would never date
loose
a guy.
Slots.
I think I would just, like, fuck a guy if it was, like, a fun night. Maybe Molly. Like, I don't know. But I wouldn't date a guy again, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Why? Validate us.
Just over... I don't know. Yeah, I liked it better. I don't know if I have full details. I just liked, get it. Yeah, I liked fucking my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
more.
Yeah. That's a thing.
And a better relationship. I don't know. I have no idea. I just feel like so many of my straight married friends, I'm just like disappointed in the men in their lives constantly. It's like all of my like cool, badass, rich girls are married to just like full doofuses. And it's a nightmare
to watch.
I picture
them wearing those little hats with like helicopters on the top.
Yeah, sometimes. because my best friends are a lesbian married couple, and their relationship was always my favorite. So, like, when I would think about, like, wanting to be in a relationship and be married, I was like, that's, like, they just have such good communication and effort. I don't know. And a lot of my friends are having kids now, and their husbands are just, like...
aloof.
Wanting to go to jiu-jitsu. I don't know. It's... It just sucks watching my girlfriends have to, like, parent alone and
It just sucks, and then their relationship is just so beautiful and good. And yeah. it was nice to see it. So it was kind of my example relationship for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about your thoughts about like queer woman culture before you dated a woman, and then after. Like, did you feel like, oh, I had this impression of like what lesbians were, what queer women were?
No, before. I mean, I haven't been living under a rock. Yeah. I've been out and about.
Yeah. You listen to Taylor Swift, so yeah. You know.
No, so when I was 19, I worked at this like punk rock hair salon in Chicago, and it was all these derby girls, and they would fight each other, and I'd party with them a lot.
That's
so
very gay.
I was friends with all the derby Chicago girls for a long time.
I live in Bushwick, I'm familiar.
Yeah.
Nothing is gayer than roller derby. Like, let's chase
Could
each other
we
around
be
on
gayer
roller
than
skates.
That?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It was like a wild time. Everyone was like tatted up and so cool, and I remember we would have parties at the salon, and then for fun, everyone was just beating the shit out of each other. And it was an impressionable time. I was, like, excited to hang out with the derby chicks, for sure. I've just been out and about, but,
You mentioned you recently watched all of the
But awards. I did go, so that, you know, I keep getting booked for all these gay shows.
Yeah.
I went to the Ace Hotel during Dinah Shore like 2 years ago, and I did
oh
some shows.
Oh my God.
But I went
you
to
went
one.
You went to Dinah Shore?
I did, but we didn't. Well, my friends have a baby, so we mostly stayed at the Ace. Like, we didn't go party, but we went to one party, and it was not good.
Yeah.
It was very, like, everyone was segregated, and they're all in their own small groups, and I was like, this
So it's cubbyhole.
I don't know. I haven't been.
Am I wrong?
Everyone was just like, no one was intermingling outside of their groups. So that's my one party. That's the one question. Yeah, you had the different cultures. I don't know.
Different
cultures. The party sucked. That's my
But
point.
So you watched the L Word. You watched the L Word for the
first time. Yeah, so I had the flu for 6 days, and I watched all of the L Word. And
oh, my
fully,
God.
Yeah.
That's insane. Cool.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah. So I feel like a lot of nouveau gay are like, oh, I should like watch. There's no
reason. It just worked out perfect because I was at an Airbnb and it was like in the Netflix, like whoever stayed before me had been watching it. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. And then I got the flu.
Well, they were on a journey.
Like, life is. life wants me sick and in this bed for 5 days.
Yeah, so. There's no reason really to watch the L Word unless you're trying to like explore that side of you, or you're my mom who is weirdly into the L Word.
Into it?
Yeah, I'm sure she's like counting down to the new season.
she's the one, huh?
She's the one. Yeah. But other than that, but I feel like the L Word, like a lot of people or a lot of like baby gays or whatever, they'll watch it and binge it and be like, oh, this is like all the stuff I've been missing. This is all I need to know. But I feel like it needs to be like pop-up video.
It does, yeah. It could be so much shorter. Have a little pop-up.
Yeah, be like, bloop, this is problematic.
This is a bad thing in a relationship. Don't deal with this.
And like bloop, we don't do
this. Yeah, but I think those are obvious things, no?
Well, when you're... not.
I hope so.
There were some nightmare moments, but what are you going
to
do?
I had a look at my mom when like Carmen was peeing on Jenny. I was like, this is not a thing that we
you're
do,
like, this
mom.
Is not what we do.
Yeah, we don't.
I'm sorry. Well, some of us might. I don't know.
And yeah, not kink
and
shaming.
Fine,
yeah,
but
it's fine if you do, but it's not like a regular thing. And like there.
Yeah, but there's like a soap opera element to it.
Which you understand softcore. Watching it now, but when we all first started watching
when
it, we're like, this
19,
is
biased. It was formulating my entire
when
opinion of relationships.
Something is new and wild, you're going to have that. Like, when Sex and the City came out, that, like, revolutionized lots of things for lots of women.
Yeah.
And then now looking back, things are outdated, lots aren't. But, yeah.
I guess the L Word is kind of our Sex and the City in a way, because it was actually on, I think it was airing around the same time.
Yeah.
And it was like 2000s. Our thing that we watched that was like, oh, like I'm 19 or 20 and it's like formulating my opinion of how relationships work and, you know, all
of
that.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing, because when you don't have a thing and then the thing is made for you, you're like, oh, this is everything.
Yeah.
But if there was lots of things for you, not every project would have to define your whole existence.
Right, right.
You know
yes.
what I mean? So some people could just be shitty people.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like obviously when Shane's like fucking a real estate person as she's like trying to find a place with her girlfriend, that's nuts. But it's like, go fuck. I'll watch it.
Sometimes that happens.
I'll watch you guys fuck. I mean,
I'm just
pissed that no one told me there was like 6 fuck scenes an hour. I was like, this is... I felt like it was kept a secret.
There really
should
have been like a fuck guide that they included, like a little booklet in the back of the DVD that was like, if you're just here for the fuck scenes, like just go to this point in the DVD.
You don't have to watch the whole drama layout with Bette and Tina or whatever.
That's what YouTube's for.
Totally is now.
Except they put weird songs on it.
They do. They always put like Leona Lewis in the background or like... Sarah McLachlan, that's... which is weird because I only associate her with like ASPCA videos. It's like, why are you guys doing
anyone
this?
Anyone that's making...
Do I adopt these lesbians? How does this work?
Anyone that's making like slideshow music... PowerPoint videos for their crushes are truly unwell. And I'm and, like, glad they found an outlet, but that is not sane behavior.
But there's
sorry if you do it in the room, but I...
Yeah, this room got real weird. Like, I think a lot of you guys have done a slideshow too.
You are right about the papyrus font.
I've had a few silences. they've been noted, but... I'm all right. I don't know. I liked it. But it was a fun show.
I used to go to this bar when I lived in Atlanta that would play Bettina videos on the screen, like YouTube fan videos that people made with the papyrus font. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they would play Bettina, for those who don't know, is our Brangelina. It is Bette and Tina combined.
Yeah.
Bettina videos.
Which in the sequel, it's not a reboot. I want to call it a reboot, but it's a sequel.
Right.
Bette's in it, but Tina's not. And I've been hoping that...
She's dead? No.
No, I'm hoping that Tina killed Jenny. That would be like the one... I want Jenny to still be alive,
but
I'm like...
Tina... No, you don't want Jenny alive.
Yes, she does. She loves Jenny.
I do. I was hoping you'd be with me. I thought if anybody would be with me on Jenny.
No way.
I mean, because I was getting mad, and then my friend was like, yeah, but they're not writing her so you like her. So then when I watched season 5, I was like, oh, yeah, this is like an out-of-control character you should hate. But truly, I'm thrilled she died. I couldn't have been happier. I texted lots of pals about it. And she was insufferable from day one. Manipulative and bad.
I agree.
She was bad.
I mean, bad I know. Girl. I know.
She journaled on the side of a highway.
Okay.
She had her journal out.
Those aren't the parts
side
I'm talking
of a highway.
About.
That's the kind of girl I would match with on Tinder and have like a 3-month thing and it would be a nightmare.
You know you dated a Jenny before. We're
I
not
have dated
get into
Jenny
specifics.
Before. We're not going to get into specifics. We will on our Dyking Off Topic episodes. But
we have.
I've been there. I understand Jenny and I don't like her. And you're the only person on earth who likes her.
I've never been happier when I called Sarah out on dating
She's
a Jenny.
She's like Taylor Swift. She's like...
She is!
Yes!
It's like...
Isn't it great? No. Come on! Isn't this person
She's like, look what you made me do.
She just ruined everything. She was the worst. But there were a few bad moments. But overall, I think a fun time.
Yeah, it's.
I hope the show goes a better direction with like their depiction of masculine of center characters, because we really only had Shane in the first one, and she was more like a like. I watched a little bit of it, and I said that she looks like if a Delia's catalog sold BDSM gear. That's what she wears, because she has these like weird little vests, and she's got like the... Like, why are you wearing leather, girl? It's like 90 degrees in L.A. I know it is.
Walking around at 7 a.m.
Walking around
leather.
At 7 a.m. Bumping into her friends. Fucking in a pool, which we know doesn't work. I don't know. That's my only hope for the new for the
better
reboot.
Outfits.
Yeah.
Better representation of like the
I
entire
think that's
spectrum
the goal.
Of
I
like
think that's
masculinity and you know like the whole thing.
I think it's the goal.
So do you like look back now onto your 20s and a lot of experience and you're like, "Oh, like this makes more sense. Like I'm queer. This is why this was the
yeah,
way it
I was thinking about this earlier. Like I have this framed naked Miley Cyrus photo and
don't we all?
That's a tell.
Professionally framed. But
that was a weird day at the frame shop.
No, I have a frame guy and he gets me. And,
of course.
but he fucking closed his shop and moved to Jersey, but I don't know. I'm glad he's with his family. Okay, but I miss his work. But also with my ex-girlfriend, like, we met in Australia, and then she lived in London, so we just were, like, always traveling and stuff. But after we met in Australia, and then I flew back home, and I opened my bedroom door, and then I saw that naked poster. Like, they have the same body, and I was like, oh, this is humiliating. And then, so then when she came to visit, I had to be like, "This it's creepy, but I have a framed naked photo of someone that looks similar." So, yeah, that was embarrassing, but that made sense. I was like, oh, I guess when you spend $300 framing a poster from a magazine,
you might want to fuck someone. But I was like going to Miley Live constantly. But yeah.
So you mentioned too that you feel like weird about doing these gay shows, and we hear a lot from like bisexual and queer women who don't identify as lesbians that they feel like they shouldn't be doing these shows. Is that like?
Yeah, I feel like you probably have other people.
Are we not making you feel welcome?
No, everyone's okay. Making me feel, I just okay. feel guilty.
Like, who do we need to talk to?
Yeah.
What?
Because no, like, who do we need to talk to? Like,
we want to make you feel better about this.
You should feel welcome under like the queer umbrella is really big.
It is kind of weird.
I just want to say no to a show. I feel everyone knows we're all desperate. And I'll do any show inside of a bridge, bowling alley, whatever. So I'm going to say yes. Like, I don't care. But I do feel like guilty just being so newly gay and just getting to do all the best shows, but
they are the best shows. They're the best shows, but yeah, sometimes I'll like look at the shows I'm on for the month, and I'm like, oh, most of these are gay shows, but I'm like, sure, straight people are fine with listening to me do my jokes, and like I do great in front of straight audiences, and it's like I'm like, am I pigeonholing myself? It's like a weird thing. It's like the gay shows are fun, but then I'm like, I don't want to only be booked for gay shows.
Is that a thing?
I think so, yeah.
It might just be a thing for me. I don't know. You're like a bigger deal.
Performing in front of more like sort of mixed company audiences, or like how do you feel about queer shows versus generally like what's your experience as a stand-up?
Well, so I've been doing it for a little over 10 years, and I do it almost every night of the week. So like I just... are there differences to different groups? I guess, yes. Like, it sucks bombing in a black room. Like, there's nothing worse. But truly, yeah,
been
that's
there.
Bad. But then crushing in a black room, there's nothing better. Yeah. So it's like, those experiences, I don't know, because I feel like I've been hated and liked within all the different types of shows. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the worst, like, I hate being in Cincinnati, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I hate performing for a bunch of hetero Midwest couples that, like, don't fuck and are sad and go to church on Sundays, and they're like, shut this bitch up, we just got free tickets, why are, you know, like...
So we got our tickets on a grocery bag at Hy-Vee.
Yeah.
We don't want to deal with...
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I'd rather be doing gay shows, like, in New York than in West Nyack, New York, in
right.
the mall. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'd rather do that. but I have noticed there's been more, like, I was in Minnesota, and there was a lesbian couple, and we hung out after, and they were like, we were usually the only couple anywhere, and there was, like, so many lesbian couples out tonight. And I was like, great, they must have heard. But... Yeah, my followers went up.
They got the bat signal in the air.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, people are pumped. Like, even, none of my gay friends were pissed, you know? They were, like, everyone was, like, so fucking jazzed, which was funny.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, everyone was into it. But, yeah, I don't know. Did I answer the question?
Yeah.
I feel like you've wanted more out of me, and I'm giving you the bare minimum. But I guess the goofy thing when I first... different. I don't know. I was just going to talk without any questions that you asked me.
No, we love that.
Go for it.
I guess a goofy memory of being new gay is like traveling with just like, what's it called? The magic wand in my carry-on and just like all these sex toys. That was goofy. But...
I think that
usually
goofy,
I just fly with
goofy,
drugs.
And I think that like it's like a sex toy with like googly eyes on it. Like that's what makes it goofy.
No. but... Yeah. Ask me more questions. I'm not gonna riff anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, what else have been like? What are some of the revelations or like things that you're like, oh, I didn't know this would be a thing, but.
I guess I'm just because I really liked hooking up with this girl when I was 21. I was in Portland, and I don't know why I didn't stick with it then. I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out what was happening. Because then even after that, it was just mostly in group situations where there'd be a girl and guys. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know why I didn't pursue it earlier, I guess.
Have you had like a coming out experience with like friends and family since you've sort of made this realization in the last year or so?
No, I told my sister I told you I don't like keep secrets. So the moment the moment my sister saw photos from Australia, I was like, yeah, I'm truly in love. And I was like, I'm telling parents. And she's like, why don't you wait a week, you psychopath? But I truly was like, I am getting married. So Yeah, and then my parents, so my dad's 80, like I have like old Russian parents, and I was going to tell them, and then I got dumped. And so then I talk about it in my Netflix special, mm-hmm. and my therapist said that that's fine, I don't have to talk to them. So they're out in the, they know, and like they watch my special all the time. But we don't talk about anything. We just have a lot of problems. I'm like really focused on like getting closer with my parents before they die. But it's, yeah, pretty dramatic.
Admirable.
Yeah. It's just been tough, but we've never been very close and chatty about stuff. Like, we didn't communicate. Because my therapist asked me early on when I started therapy after I got dumped, was like, who did you talk to when you had problems or you were sad? And I was like, oh my God, nobody. I just watched TV. And so we never discussed things. They had such a survival mentality that there was really no emotional mm-hmm. conversations. We're all in different rooms. There was never chats. So like, it doesn't feel natural for me to like talk to them about like who I'm fucking or what I'm doing.
I think that's okay.
That's yeah. I wish I could, but my mom
I don't
mom
talk to my parents about who I'm fucking, so something's wrong with me.
No, yeah, like, but
it's,
then
it's okay.
But then we play dominoes all the time. And okay, so my dad's a hoarder and he's just like fucked, okay? The war fucked him. He's a hoarder. He steals things from Lost and Founds and like.
Okay, your dad needs a Netflix series.
He's
an old Russian guy who steals things and hoards them.
Yeah, he like steals cream cheeses from synagogue every week and like he doesn't open new stuff. He's just like scared of the war. He has fun. I mean, no, he just drinks. I don't know why I'm talking about him. Oh, so we're playing dominoes. That's like our thing. And I saw these like pride rainbowy buttons and all these like, gay buttons. And I was texting my friend during dominoes. I was like, oh my God, I think my dad's like trying to tell me something. But then he was like, what does this mean? And then I told him and he put the buttons away. And I was like, all right. But no moment. But my mom's always like, you're not going to, she's like, you're not going to end up with a guy. I was like, no. There wasn't a full conversation, but they are they're aware and I'll bring whoever home and they'll be nice. But I just, yeah, there wasn't like a full convo.
Yeah.
About anything. But they don't know anything about my life. That sucks. we have like surface level chats mostly.
Yeah, that was kind of like my relationship with my grandparents. It was like, oh, you've been living with this friend for a while. Does she have a boyfriend? It's like, nope. And they're like, okay, we get it. Like, we know.
Just a couple of spinsters.
Yeah, we know what's going on there.
I love that.
Yeah.
God we have a word for it.
So I wish I chatted, but since I talk about it so openly everywhere and I know my parents find me on the internet, I'm just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
So you can judge me for that or not, but that's the way it is. But my niece and nephews, that's what's cool. Seeing the future is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's nice to see, like, we went to buy flowers and balloons for my mom's birthday. I think this was a year or two ago. And we bought a TY, like, Beanie Baby, and it had a pink bow. And I was like, what's her name? And all my niece and nephews were like, why does it have to be a her? I'm like, I don't know. There's a pink bow. Whatever.
Right on.
And they're like, why can't a boy wear a pink bow? I'm like, listen, I'm on your side. I cannot believe it. But I was just really impressed with them. So, like, I talk to them very openly, and they have gay friends. And that's, like, that's just cool that my niece goes to a small school. There's only 17 kids and people are out and feeling good about themselves, and that's really nice. And the future is cool.
Yeah
or not, or there's concentration camps, but
right.
The O's are gonna stop it. So good that the young kids are down with queer culture, but bad that something's happening we can't mention.
I've been very down about it.
We have to end soon. Huh? I don't want to end on this Holocaust.
No,
bummer.
Okay,
we made a pact before the show. Don't end on the Holocaust.
No. This is why we end on a listener question.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great, 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 great.
So.
These are never weird. Thank God.
Yeah. I made sure it was going to be a non-weird, a fun one, a fun listener question. Okay. So my parents are helping me buy a new car. My dad wants me to get a Jeep and my mom wants me to get a Subaru. The two most gay cars out there. The problem is neither of them know I'm queer. At least I haven't told them. But based solely on the choices of cars they've picked for me, do you think they know? And why are Subarus so connected to lesbians? Your mom's a lesbian. She wants the Subaru. That's...
also, like,
flexing that your parents are going to buy you a car. Hello, right? Girl. Good for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Jeep and Subaru are like up there. Like, I don't know.
What are you looking at me for?
Well, you're new to this, but these are the gayest vehicles.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think Subaru is just for outdoorsy things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You could put a bike on the roof.
Yeah.
Quickly. They last forever. Safe.
In a biking emergency, you could do that.
Those are great cars. Your parents know.
They're testing you.
Like a Jeep is not a fuel efficient vehicle, so if they're willing to go that way, they're like, what kind of lesbian are you?
I think.
Are you a Subaru? Are you like a, you know, do you volunteer at an animal shelter? Are you sort of like, you know, you wear hiking sandals? Or are you a Jeep and you're a complete fuckboy loser who cannot keep a relationship?
Yeah.
And you're really fun, but no one...
Is this personal, this Jeep
story? It might
be.
Either way, you plan on rescuing a dog.
Either way, you're going to rescue something.
Vehicles for your rescue
dog. This is fun. Can we do another one?
That's the only one that I wrote down.
Yeah. Our inbox is a mess, though.
I love questions.
But I do want to say, so the whole lesbian Subaru thing... I don't know. It just seemed like, Subarus are like safe and practical.
They're just very sensible, like us.
And that's why, and that's why lesbians are into them. There's an article in The Atlantic about this that actually Subarus, they looked at their demographic because they were described as being like, again, kind of like boring but safe and sturdy. And they were looking at like who buys them. The fifth demographic was lesbians, and they made a decision in the 90s to market specifically to lesbians when no brands even wanted to acknowledge that gay people existed.
Right.
So you were sitting on all these answers?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
On the latter one. I don't know. I mean,
they were like, all we need,
gay, but like,
we just need more compartments, more options for bike and ski storage.
Nothing flashy.
The entire back seat is just flat for dogs.
We want to be ready for a hike at any moment.
There's a hike. Most cars come with a spare tire. This one does too. However, in the other compartment, there's a spare set of hiking boots. There's that walking stick that all the old lesbian couples have, in a normal town.
That comes standard.
Yeah,
the walking sticks that come standard with the Subaru.
Feature. Good for them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. This has been amazing, Lisa. Thank you very much.
Where can people find you on the internet? Because I love your handle, so plug it away.
Great. I'm on the internet at Glitter Cheese on Twitter and Insta.
Why not?
All around town.
Yeah.
And you can watch my Netflix special.
And you're going to be at Edinburgh.
Yeah, I'll be in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so excited. 10:35 every night at the Underbelly, and then the stage is the Buttercup, which is so cute.
That's amazing. We have listeners in the UK, so please go out and see this. It'll be awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming out to Dyking Out Live. Have a great Pride.
Yay, happy Pride.
Thank you for coming. And dyke out with us again.
Yay, thank you. Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the planet?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.